ABM systems or Star Wars or this. I mean, in other words, Farr's position has been, though he makes verbal concessions to his constituents, he doesn't represent them. If 99% of his constituents want real action, like an impeachment resolution, he's still unwilling to do it. And I think we need to be there to tell him it's time to vote against the war appropriation, it's time to vote against the military budget, it's time to vote against uranium-depleted weapons. It's time to vote in favor of real peace, and that's what the deal is.
Yep. Oh, that sounds good. I'll certainly do my best to get down there.
Cool.
I wanted to also make a comment. You were talking earlier, I think, about how the efforts seem to be winding down in the area.
Let me put it this way. I think people are kind of catching their breath. I mean,
yeah.
There was a large protest yesterday, 100 or more people, maybe more than that, maybe 150 people walking from the town clock to Raymond Street Park and then, I guess, off to Lighthouse Field. But compare it with the 5,000 to 7,000, which was what the paper said, or even 3,000. I'm not sure what the figures, the correct figures are, but the people who came to Santa Cruz in February.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it makes you, one interpretation is, oh, well, people, either they support the war, they're discouraged, they've all gone home. I don't think that's true. Although I think there is this pseudo-patriotic, false jingoist shift that does happen because people see Americans being killed in body bags and hear all the rah-rah on the CNN.
Yeah, and also they get corporate-run protests, which kind of muddies the issue as well.
Yeah, support our troops protests, which haven't been very big, you know. I mean,
yeah, about 100 or so from what I've been reading.
Well, there was 1 or 10 to 25,000 in Atlanta. But
oh, really?
That was that was the one run by the Clear...
Clear Channel?
Yeah.
But
not very big. San Francisco had a couple hundred people, according to establishment media, which is, not much compared to 2,200 arrested last week for civil disobedience or just for protest. I mean,
very true. Well, I just wanted to make one general comment, and I'll just leave the phones open for everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
It was dovetailing what I was listening from the Democracy Now! Show on Friday with Juan Gonzalez. He was talking about a quote from 10 Days that shook the world and how the Russian people during the revolution aged just for every single day. And I think our peace movement, along with everybody else involved, pro and con, has aged quite a bit in this week and a half. And I don't think we're running out of steam at all. I think you're right. We are catching our breath. And the next time we let it out, it's going to be just a little bit louder.
Yeah. Well, I know, Neil, you were one of 13, either the Capitola 13 or the Santa Cruz 13, or
yes,
that were arrested in front of the military recruitment center. I know that some people suggested setting up a vigil there on the sidewalk 24 hours.
That's a good idea. Myself, I'm not exactly sure where to go or what to do. I'm thinking about joining a group that I think is most effective. I'm casting about, looking around. And if you hear anything, you've got my email, so...
Okay, and maybe I'll see you tomorrow at the office. We can talk about it further at Farr's office at 2.
Looking forward to it.
Hey.
All right.
I'll see you, Neil.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And 10 minutes till doom. The upcoming programmer is waiting in the wings with a hook, so I have to be careful here, but I still have 10 minutes, so keep away from me with that thing. You can call in if you want, 427-3772, and I'm going to spiral through a few of these stories. Price of Iraqi occupation could dwarf war's cost, by Jonathan Nicholson, Reuters. The price of a post-war U.S. occupation of Iraq could be so big that some experts fear it would make the cost of combat alone pale in significance. Of course, we all knew this before. This is especially true because consideration of the war's ultimate price tag and how to pay it comes at a time that the U.S. government is already awash in red ink. This week, the White House asked Congress for almost $75 billion in extra money to pay for a relatively short war in Iraq. While Congress has yet to set aside funding for rebuilding in the current budget debate, worries over the war's eventual costs were cited in the Senate's Tuesday vote to whack U.S. President George W. Bush's proposed 10-year tax cut of $726 billion in half. For a government that spends more than $2 trillion a year, a one-time expense of $75 billion is relatively small. It will, however, add to what the Bush administration has already estimated will be a record budget shortfall of $304 billion in 2003, and it will mean additional debt will be added to the government's current outstanding debt of $6.4 trillion. The Council on Foreign Relations, in a recent report, estimated the United States may need to station 75,000 troops in Iraq, which with aid efforts could cost $20 billion a year for several years. Bob Bixby, executive director of the Concord Coalition, a balanced budget advocacy group, said the annual costs could run between $10 billion and $30 billion. No one really has any idea about how much this might cost, said Lyle Gramley, a former Federal Reserve governor and a senior economic consultant with Schwab Washington Research Group. It could be very, very big bucks. And this is a long article. It goes on about other stuff. Again, it's a Reuters News Service article. You can catch it on the net. It's going to be expensive. Bombs fall. Santa Barbara responds. Peace movement continues as U.S. and Britain attack Iraq. This is a story in last week's Santa Barbara Independent. Santa Barbara peace activists knew the day was coming that the United States would begin a military assault in Iraq, but as evening fell on Wednesday, March 19th, there was still a small hope that war would be averted. It wasn't to be so. This last week has seen thousands of people protesting the war in the streets of Santa Barbara, several arrests, and many acts of civil disobedience, as well as a more quiet wave of general support for the servicemen and women who must fight in the war, no matter why it was started or what it seeks to accomplish. I always hate those taglines, because I don't think you have to fight. You can always say no, and many did during the Vietnam War and went to Canada, and we could have declared this city a resistor sanctuary. Emily Riley could do that, and the city council could do that whenever it wishes to convene. The Thursday after the first missiles ripped into Baghdad, Santa Barbara's anti-war activists, some of them in costume, jumped into hastily planned yet successful acts of civil disobedience. At 1 p.m., about 30 protesters converged on the Shell gas station in Santa Barbara at the busy corner of Carrillo and Chapala streets. As police presence mounted, the protesters lay down in front of the station's pumps for the week's first die-in, a street theater episode when a drum booms and people fall to the ground in contorted, bomb victim-like positions. That was only the beginning. Demonstrators went on to disperse, reorganize, and pop up at various points around the city throughout the day and evening. A freeway shutdown at Milpas roundabout at 4 p.m. resulted in four arrests. Somehow, the California Highway Patrol knew about the intended disruption on Highway 101, and officers were waiting when the activists arrived. Thursday evening saw the most out-of-control actions as several hundred people stopped downtown traffic in a noisy, angry march. Again, the group tried to get onto Highway 101, this time at Carrillo Street, but were turned back by CHP motorcycle cops. The difference in Santa Cruz is, apparently the peace activists themselves turned themselves back. It's kind of a sad commentary. Or maybe they're just, you know, conserving their peace capital, as our political leaders in Sugar and Crone used to say. We aren't going to support homeless measures at city council because we're conserving our political capital. You know, if you try to conserve something too long, it isn't there. It evaporates on you. That's the problem. So, again, I'm reading more about Santa Barbara, what happened there. We respect 100% people's First Amendment rights of free speech, says CHP spokesperson Mark Arelli, but we must prevent them from getting harmed. You have to think about the people on the freeway coming up at 65 miles an hour. Dorelli said the Santa Barbara Police Department asked the CHP to help keep order up on the city streets. That's what they were doing when officers used their motorcycles to direct pedestrian activists off the street and onto the sidewalk, an action called bounding. And so I saw a little bit of that bounding the other day when I was on this march, and I didn't see all of it, but there was an officer on a motorcycle who went by me a little uncomfortably close, and then I heard a complaint from Gabe that this officer ran into his ankle. I heard a further commentary on this from a supporter of the, well, I wouldn't say of the officer's running over his ankle, but a person who felt that Gabe had taunted or criticized the officer, or somebody else had, and that the officers were behaving okay. But I think that, you know, I understand how officers want to put people on the sidewalk, and they do this and they do that, but there are reasons people are walking in the streets in these protests. And we're talking about, for example, for those who are concerned about the vast waste of money or police overtime, let's say, the cost of policing protests. There's this article in the Capitola Mid-County Post by Rick L. Ely, I think it's a Capitola Chief of Police, where he talks about how the high costs countywide of $19,000 for the three law enforcement agencies on March 5th alone, and so forth and so on, at the recruiting offices, the amount of money they had to expend. One has to consider this just pales in comparison with the amount of money being spent every second overseas. I mean, You know, if they're spending $2 billion a day for the next month, and that's what that $75 billion appropriation is, or $1.5 billion if you think it only $63 billion is going to the military. If they spend $1.5 to $2 billion a day, how much is that every hour? How much is that every minute? You really have to look at it in perspective. And by stopping that, you save money. You save lives. You save the honor of the country. And it's really, to me, a pretty simple and straightforward situation. So come on down to the recruitment center tomorrow. Not the recruitment center, although that's a good idea, too. Farr's office, Representative Sam Farr. His office is at 701 Ocean Street, third floor of the county building. Come on down with signs, with noisemakers, with cameras. Bring your friends, bring your kids. This is during the day. And demand that Farr take action, that Farr say no to the war appropriation, that he say no to the next military appropriation, that he say no to uranium-depleted weapons. These are what we have to demand he do. If you want to catch me between show times, and my next show is 6 to 8 on Thursday, you can find me at 423-HUFF. That's a voicemail, but I usually check it a couple times a day. You can always go down to the town clock and do some peace vigiling there, even if there isn't a formal continuing vigil there. There are folks who are there who are sympathetic and interested, and I would encourage people to try to be as inclusive as they can. There has been some factionalism recently, and I'd like to see less of that. You know, folks have a right to their own opinions, and they will express them, but let's try to stand together against the war on the poor and the war against the Iraqi people, however much we all detest Saddam Hussein and his big brother Bush over here in power. So I'm going to play a little music to give the incoming programmer an opportunity to get his shit together, so to speak. He's probably got it together as we speak. And you can also come to the HUFF meeting. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meets on Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. at Baker Square. We are scheming to restore civil rights in Santa Cruz in spite of the politicians, in spite of the police, in spite of the war. That's what we're trying to do. Come on down and help us. And thank you for listening in to this edition of Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides.
Bowling, my buddy says to me, "Hey man, what you thinking about bowling? Such a sorry sight to see. Now we got to do what we can about the troubles in Afghanistan. We could bomb the Soviets, but better yet, let's bomb Grenada. They are nationalizing everything. I knew it would be this way. They say if you want to make a profit, a greater tax you must pay. Now we need freedom of investment, just like we've got in Formosa. Maybe we could give Grenada to Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner, and Somoza. Let's cut off their aid. A bad example. Star Wars are more fun than guerrilla wars, of course. You see, we are Americans, so we never like to use force. We're generous to a fault, but these things get out of hand. Imagine they want to decide for themselves which crops to a bad example.